To reserve a seat or a table, call 636-9285.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Morning, this is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on cutting-edge bioscience building. Today, I'm especially excited to introduce to our listening audience the guests that I have scheduled today, Mr. Gary Eckstein, excuse me, and Mrs. Suzanne, or Susie Wolf, of the Kenosha Achievement Center. Gary and Susie are program managers, and we will be discussing their roles in that capacity. They oversee the conduct and delivery of services and education-based aspects of the agency's mission to the community, and we'll learn more about their specific application during the show this morning. From a professional standpoint, I'm really fortunate to be familiar with the wide range of services KAC provides, and it is my intent to discuss the unique and perhaps unknown school-based activity and focus that comprises their responsibility and how it supports the overall focus of Department of Public Instruction and federal objectives within the local education structure. Well, good morning, Gary and Susie. I'm honored to include you as guests on this show for the first time, and although you've probably been involved with the media in a number of other different capacities, I'm especially honored and happy to have you on the show this morning. As is customary, I'd like to build some perspective with our listeners by allowing you to explain your professional path, educational experience, credentials, and the role education has played to you in your current position, or in other words, why does education matter to you? So, again, good morning, Gary and Susie. I'll let perhaps Gary start, or whichever. We'll flip the coin, and we'll let you get started with the introduction.
Well, good morning, and thank you. Yeah, I'm Gary Eckstein from the Kenosha Achievement Center. I've been employed there for 22 years. Yeah, education matters to me. I grew up in pretty modest circumstances and wound up going to the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, where I received a bachelor's degree, and then went on to Marquette University and received a master's degree. And I've spent a whole lot of my adult life, whether it's KC or other organizations involved with education and training programs. I'm a faculty member at UW-Parkside, Carthage College. Was at Marquette for 25 years on a part-time basis.
And I think you've taught some classes here at Gateway also, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, yeah.
A few summers ago, I was teaching some intro to sociology classes.
Sure.
I had a great experience here.
And a big part of your background is psychology, though I believe that's your
psych, social, and criminal justice.
Correct, correct. And I just know that from having worked at the agency. And it is apparent and clear that this direction and the value for education was important early on because it was either going to be doing something in your environment in Montello, I believe, where you grew up, or moving on to what other people might consider bigger and better things or a larger contribution.
Yeah, I've been very blessed. I came down here when I was 17, 18 years old, and it's just been a world of opportunities, and I love the community, and I like the focus on education. And these are also communities, Racine, Kenosha, with a very good, to me, a very strong work ethic.
I think as we worked together in the past, we often discussed that it's almost conspicuous that Kenosha and Racine, the local area, is very, very generous.
Yes.
And I think, too, and in a way that they appreciate those people that are contributing to the community. And so it complements someone like yourself. And from a larger state and federal level, if your past experience, a lot of people may not realize, is that I don't think you've resigned your commission yet. So you're still
– I'm still a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army.
Yeah, as a captain, as I
I'm
recall,
captain.
When you left active service. So a wide disparity of experiences, and even in some of my favorite places, I've learned or gained a greater appreciation for Fort McCoy and the area up there. And the hiking opportunities and adventuring is just amazing. There are no distractions. It's almost like there's nothing to do.
We kept pretty busy when we were
there. I'm sure there when you're operating and on mission, that's a different focus. But is there anything else you would want to add at this point? Or I'm sure we'll be able to pick things up as we go through the show.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to let Susie do her introduction. Again, Susie Wolf, again, good morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here to talk about education and children. And I was putting my thoughts together, and I realized that, gosh, I've been in Kenosha longer than I've been anywhere else in my life.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Have so much fun, it creeps up on you.
Right. So I grew up in a very small town in central Wisconsin and came down to Carthage to do my undergrad. And there were more students at Carthage than I had ever seen.
Oh, wow.
I always said my hometown had more cows than people in
no
it.
No doubt.
So,
So
I graduated Carthage with a degree in psychology, and then I went back and took more courses and got my social work certification.
Okay.
After that. And then I have been with the Kenosha Achievement Center just in a few months. It'll be 30 years.
Wow.
So a long time working with persons with disabilities. And I've run the gamut from adults, and I currently supervise the Birth to Three program, which is children, newborn up to age three, who have delays in their development. So,
And these are observed students or children that are, and I say students because this is an education-related or an education-based focus, perhaps are on the autism spectrum of disorders. I know that you work closely with the Wisconsin Early Autism Program or Project.
Right.
And WEAP is what that's
WEAP,
called.
Mm-hmm.
You have some play groups there.
We do. And we don't diagnose. But we do have the therapy staff, physical therapist, speech therapist, occupational therapist, and special education teachers on staff. So we work with the kids from that standpoint, moving their development forward. If they're looking for a diagnosis, we get them hooked up with places that are able to do that.
And then there are agencies within the community that provide those wraparound services.
Correct.
And waivers and so forth and so on, and a lot of other, I guess, verbiage considerations that allow, not make it easy, but allow some facilitation for that kind of support.
Correct. And Wisconsin is one of the few states in the United States that has that extra support, especially around autism. We have the Katie Beckett Medicaid waiver, so children who wouldn't be typically eligible for Medicaid because of family income can get
Those
Medicaid.
Those eligibility restrictions are waived, or if you want to call
right.
it set aside.
Based on their diagnosis.
Based on their diagnosis. And mm-hmm. so that's very, very important for the listening audience or someone who just overhears this in conversation to understand what the waiver process is all about.
Right.
And it's not a giveaway. It's certainly something that is not just an entitlement. It's something that is earned on the basis of recognition. And it's not anything that's thrown in anybody's lap necessarily.
Right.
So,
it's the state of Wisconsin saying, hey, these kiddos need some extra special care, and is there a way that we can do that? So, and Katie Beckett has been in place for, I'm sorry, I don't remember how many years, but a long time.
Right.
In order to support those children that would typically maybe have been institutionalized, and they're at home now with their families.
On a somewhat more limited basis and limiting basis, I guess, would be the best way to put it, where some of their full potentials are not met or able to be met because of the specialized treatment that they can receive in this environment, which is remarkable.
Right.
When I worked at the Kenosha Achievement Center, the first person that I met that was actually on the cutting edge of involving KAC in this programming was Chris Weicker, the current director.
Mm-hmm.
And we all worked in that one KAC West building, a former Martin Peterson building over by Southport Rigging. And I think that people in the community would be surprised at how much formal, actual, conventional, on-the-ground education programming exists and is conducted in somewhat unconventional platforms. It's not
right.
an actual stand-up. We have an instructor with a a whiteboard, for example, or something of that nature. But the learning that goes on is undeniable.
Right.
And it is absolutely accountable. So that the reports that Gary goes crazy with at certain times of the year, we've got to get them all in and so forth to meet inspection and credentialing requirements are very, very important. And I think something that a lot of people wouldn't realize that very early on in a family's life with a child who has been diagnosed or observed as struggling with certain concepts and abilities is integrated into the education process much earlier than a lot of people would give credit.
Right. So we start at birth.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And you know, a lot of times, even physicians who are making referrals are like, "Really, at birth? What do you?" Well, yeah, we want to start right away and partner with families so that they can get some encouragement from us.
Okay.
As well as giving them tools and strategies that they can integrate into their everyday life, whether the child is showing a delay immediately or not. Say a child who is born with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, we want to be able to have those processes in place so the parent can say, "I got this.
Yes.
I can do it." Because we know that parents are going to be their child's best first teacher.
Absolutely.
And if
crucial.
We can give them all the support and strategies that they need in
otherwise,
order to do that.
Otherwise, there's a temptation to think that, well, it's just the agencies that are going to take over and maybe do some of the heavy lifting, and that's not at all the case. You are involved also, from what I recall, with some of the programming that was scheduled and parking problems attendant to it and so forth, with actually teaching parents.
Right.
Working very. Can you tell us something about that? Because what we will touch on, and so as not to monopolize time from Gary, at least chronologically, we're starting with birth to three, and that's Susie. And, of course, Gary, everybody can see now, is nodding his head vigorously. And you are involved in the IEP, the actual, what the school would call the IEP process very, very early.
Right.
The professionals that you work with and that are on your staff that work with special education, occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech, and so forth, do they all come to you, ready-made with the degrees in place? And are they reinforced as far as their professional development and training at the agency, or do they go to a DPI, for example, Department of Public Instruction-related workshop or forum?
Right.
I'll let you take that from here.
Yes. So, yes, they come to us with licenses in place. And then whatever criteria they need in order to keep those licenses, the agency helps support them in that, whether that's additional training, a conference, and where they get those depends on what's available. Unfortunately, this early childhood age doesn't have a lot of continuing education.
However, some of the basic credentials and certification for working in early childhood education is right here at Gateway Technical College and on the Racine campus.
Right.
Just remarkable. It's almost ready-made in a way.
Right.
But do the and I remember some of the people that were working there at the time, and they may have transitioned in and out and so forth, but are you typically invited to an IEP meeting at some point where, oh, this was written in a couple of years ago when the student was at KAC. What can you tell us about this?
Mm-hmm. So children that are in the Birth to Three program, we develop an Individual Family Service Plan, or IFSP.
Correct.
Which
right.
correlates to the IEP, which is an Individual Education Plan,
right.
Once the child turns three. So our plans look at what the parents' goals are for the
sure.
child. Where they'd like them to be, and what are the steps that we're going to work on together as a team to move them forward.
But as based on what science is going to and evidence is going to allow and you to make a recommendation for, as opposed to, he should be a computer programmer. Well, probably with what we're seeing and some of the delays and so forth, that may not be a realistic goal at this point. So we are going to include this information as a concern. But as far as accommodations, modifications, actual programming recommendations, this is what we base our recommendations on.
Right. And the recommendations are always a team effort.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if mom says, "I want them to go to college," okay, let's talk about that. What does that look like for you? can we back the steps up a little bit? First, he probably should be able to speak.
Yes.
Maybe before he goes to college. So, or hold a crayon or a pencil. So let's back the steps up a little bit. We don't ever want to discount the parents' hopes for the child. But we need to, like you said, make it kind of a realistic. In 6 months' time, where do we think we'll be towards this?
And we're very, very fortunate in the state of Wisconsin, very, very progressive. We're one of the few states that the law, as many people may realize, for the IEP requires that a transition plan be put in place as early as 16 years old. Wisconsin and a number of other states, to their credit, have said, nope, you're wrong, it's going to be 14. Because we can get things started in the middle school, and eventually we'll have Gary comment on that just a little bit more.
Right.
But
so with the little guys,
yes.
We only have them for 3 years, potentially.
But you start a transition plan for them there.
From the first day.
Exactly.
We talk to the parents from the first day. Okay, what's going to happen when they turn three?
Yeah.
Here, we'll see them right up to their third birthday. If they still need services, here are some options. The school district takes most of our children. It is still ultimately the family's decision, and some choose private therapy.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to writing that IEP with the school district, yes, our team meets with the school team.
And let me just interject then and ask, are any going to open wings at this point? Do you happen to know? Or is that something you may not be able to follow at this point?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No.
But so as opposed to the post-secondary concern that the parent might have about the child going to college, your concern is let's just get them to pre-K.
Right.
And what we have to do in order to ensure that they can meet those goals as prescribed and directed by the federal government.
Right. And so sometimes there's a challenge because we see children in their natural environment, in their home. And so our plans a lot of times talk about how is that child able to function as part of his family. And when you go to the schools, you need to have an educational deficit. So sometimes, especially those ancillary physical therapy or occupational therapy, don't always translate into them being eligible for their IEP. So we try and work through that with families a little bit.
And those people are really unsung heroes, I think, at some times. We tend to look at some of the activities that they conduct directly and say, well, that's no big deal. They're just doing this, or they're just pushing something around into little places or something like that. But there are very, very fine, certainly intriguing, but very in-depth differences that indicators, fine motor control, and some of those things that those people are specifically trained to look for. Say, this is a red flag. This is an area of concern.
Right.
And it's I think a level of interest that again a lot of people may not be aware of if they pass one of the Kenosha Achievement Center buildings. Oftentimes, they might be seeing a portion of the population that Gary works with more directly, but that's an off-growth. They're very, very we hear the term womb to tomb, and you're actually doing it.
Right. And we actually serve, and not on site, we're in the homes most of the time, but we actually serve over 600 children a year between birth to three, early Head Start, and in our play groups.
Okay, so, and early Head Start, which population is that?
Early Head Start is low-income families, pregnant women, and children up to three or Head Start age. So if you turn three in March, we would keep them until they can start school September 1st. So.
Wow. And they're going to be starting at maybe 4 years old or something in some kind of a pre-K or a nursery school kind of an Operation Head Start.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or Project Head Start, I think. Is what, yes.
So that's a lot of children, and you don't see them on site ever.
And I think it's a huge amount of impact in the community that, again, a lot of people don't realize. By the way, your teachers, education professionals, are out there on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So that on the weekends and during the summer, which is sometimes the major part of the impact of your programming, because that can be very, very destabilizing for a lot of people.
Right. We're year-round.
It really is.
And sometimes that becomes a challenge, again, when they transition with the IEP, because we see them all of the time. Sometimes the questions that the school district asks are, well, what happens if you don't see them? Is there regression? And we don't always have that response because we've been seeing them steadily. Where in the school district, you'd have that 9 months, and then you could say,
right.
oh, over
there
the summer, they didn't get
break.
Anything.
Right, right. Right. So in your case, you're doing far more documentation, acceleration charts, and those kind of things that would document and record a child's progress or just activity.
Right.
And their skill acquisition, for example. And, again, this is, I think, extremely helpful. And understanding that there is another school district in Kenosha, in a way, and Chris Weicker is its de facto superintendent.
Superintendent, sure.
It really, really is. And I'm hoping at some point to have her on this show as a guest so that people can be introduced to her also in the community as the director of this program or superintendent, so to speak, whereas people tend to overlook that or just are not aware and tend to think that the Kenosha Achievement Center is primarily a jobs program. And unless you have something else to add at this point, this has been extremely helpful, and we can go in some other directions. Once I do a little reintro here, I'm going to let Gary continue the progress, which goes to that from 14 on, really, which is where we start the actual measurable post-secondary goal employment focus and that part of the transition as it goes into a new program, which I'm sure he's going to be able to talk with us about. We've spoken with other guests about the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act, which is a major player, a game changer in terms of how young people and people, just people, are with disabilities are integrated into the workforce and into the workplace. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and my guests this morning are Mr. Gary Eckstein and Susie Wolf of Kenosha Achievement Center. Gary and Susie are program managers, and we are discussing their roles in that capacity. They oversee the conduct and delivery of services and education-based aspects of the agency's mission to the community. And again, we are discussing that to this point this morning, and we've been recently and just to this point speaking about the Birth to Three and the entry-level programming at Kenosha Achievement Center. And we'll talk a little bit about how one can gain access. But we want to switch gears a little bit and let Gary inform the rest of the community and our listening audience about his role and how that whole process moves forward from as early, if I'm not unfair, as 14 years old and throughout adulthood.
Yeah, we wouldn't typically get too many 14-year-olds, but I think over time we will. Well, it'll
yes,
start
because
increasing.
Of the, I think because of the way the dynamics of the Workforce Innovation Opera, or WIOA, as people will hear this, is conducted, and as people are engaged and integrated into their programming as required by the federal government and some of the agencies involved with that, and I'm sure you'll mention that.
Yeah, we are partnering with the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, and they provide the funding and the referrals.
And this is for people with disabilities, and that's the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Correct.
So that as we go forward, if we refer to DVR, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Correct. And they kind of are the broker for all the services and programs for community employment options for folks with adults and young adults with disabilities. Our new initiative this year is really ramping up our summer youth employment program. And this has been really exciting because we've run it on a limited basis, you know, 4 or 5 young adults are in high school. And we do a lot of really cool things at the agency, but this is one that I really see so much excitement with these young people and their parents. And it's always been kind of, wow, if we could just expand this and do more of it. It just seems to be so wonderful. And so this year, the Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, DVR, has, you know, started talking to us, more dialoguing about, yeah, we would like to try this as part of WIOA. And so we went from about 4 slots to now we have 12. And we're about in the halfway point of summer program.
Slowly growing. And that's why it's so important that on a Saturday morning, what the heck are we doing here talking about summer programming in school? Are you crazy? It's not. I did summer school last month. This is something different. Yeah. And it is more learning. and the work sites. I'm going to let you talk about the work sites. And this is not about job acquisition necessarily, but it is exposure and gaining some sense of learning what is important to work efficiently at the workplace. So that's some of the skills that are involved. It's one thing to be told, okay, the first thing you do when you go into the worksite is say hello. It's quite another to be there and actually see it being done.
Yes. So the mornings, these 12 young people go out to these various worksites, and we have 8 different worksites, and they're retail, production work, agricultural work, office work, some janitorial work, a real wide variety of things, and then they can actually do the job for 4 hours in the morning, and then they have a group lunch together, and then in the afternoon they kind of do a debriefing, and then they talk about, what skills are important at these jobs.
And it's soft skills that are crucially important.
Yes, yes. And, I know Chris talked to one of the participants and says, I don't really like doing any of this stuff. And she said, hey, you've moved forward. Now you know what not to do with your career. But I think this whole thing, you're right, with the soft skills, and that's kind of ongoing in the morning, but also in the afternoon, where they're getting this feedback on their performance, and then they're talking about what are the expectations.
So the feedback on the performance, you mentioned something, and this show tends to take its own direction as a learning opportunity evident, and we can capitalize on it. The work sites, are these people actually providing the feedback on some kind of documentation or something that's helpful for that the case man or the counselor, if not the case manager, at least the counselor, the DVR counselor, to make some recommendations? Going forward in work is probably not going to be all that recommended in this person's case because of this or that. I recommend something else to get them ready to move forward.
Yes, yes. So,
and that's just one example.
Yeah, there's just one example. And so we've got small groups of basically one staff with 4 individuals. So the supervision is pretty close.
Okay.
And it's pretty intense.
1 to 4.
1 to 4, yeah.
Wow.
Which isn't bad. And then in the afternoon, they're in the classrooms, and the classrooms can still be 1 to 4. They can be 2 staff with 8.
So are the classrooms at the Kenosha Achievement Center?
No. Everything is community-based, which is really cool. So everybody meets first thing in the morning here at Gateway. We meet out in the atrium, and then transportation, the staff bring either their vehicles or agency vehicles. And then from Gateway, they go to their community work site. And then from their community work site, they have lunch together. And then they go to UW Parkside, and we use some of the class facilities at UW Parkside.
Oh, my word.
So this is 100% community-based, which
it's community-based, but it is also based in very, very high visibility, high caliber education facilities.
Yeah. And I think it reinforces.
It plants that seed.
Yes, it plants a seed. I'm here to learn.
Yeah. Well, and learning is lifelong.
Yes.
Here I am sitting in a college classroom, and I might be 18 years old, or I might be younger, or I might be a little bit older and never expected to go to college. But the expectation, however, is that for the academic support of what I'm doing, this is the environment it's best developed in.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that is crucial. Yeah, this is a place of learning. I'm here to learn.
And you gain the sense that, well, I'm going to go to a work site where some of the skills I do are kind of fun, and this is related to where I was first thing in the morning at Gateway. Gateway's kind of a cool place. And now the education process itself even appears to be a little bit more user-friendly than the previous experience on sometimes campus, the conventional campus environment can be daunting, intimidating, overwhelming, overstimulating. Here I'm working with 3 other of my peers. I've got a teacher, that's a real teacher, and they may be called some, are they the supervisors, the worksite supervisors, are they titled differently? Or
they're titled differently, but interestingly, a lot of the people we hire for just the summer program work in schools.
Yes, isn't it? Not at all surprising. And I kind of salted the mine with that, with this in mind, that this is truly an education matters focus and a legitimate mission.
Yeah, and again, it's like anybody at Gateway or Parkside, Carthage. At the end of the day, I mean, we're all studying, we're all learning, but integrated with employment. You know, what's at the end of the road? Hopefully, a job, a career. correct, better life for people.
And with the understanding that as I move on through this job or with this career, I'm going to have skills either reinforced or reacquired. In other words, in order for me to move up and do more things, I've got to learn a different skill. Now someone else has to come in and teach and train this. And that's what that person is there to do. They might be called a job coach or a job trainer or a teacher. The title is, I think, important. But I think more importantly is the relational, the interrelational capacity in which these folks cooperate.
Yes.
And I'm talking that learning goes both ways.
Yes. Yeah.
And kind of related to summer program, kind of a separate thing, but also with the Vocational Rehabilitation, DVR, department, we've developed some work sites. And again, a lot of this is, it's a combination of those soft skills and actually doing paid work. But we've developed 8 work sites at Kingfish.
Okay, yeah.
And we have one crew that actually works the games and does kind of cleaning and things. But they're also doing customer service work and being used to being around people.
Oh, that's a natural consequence. Someone bumps into something or if someone spills something, hey, let me get that, and we have to build those communication skills.
Right.
Yeah. And so some of the folks are like, I love baseball. I get to see the games for free, and I'm getting paid, and of course I'm working.
Yes.
So we've got 4 spots at night, and then we've got 4 spots on the following morning to do the cleanup crews.
Okay.
And, you know, then we can kind of match it with the person's personality as well. So, you know, somebody might be saying, you know, I like being in the ballpark and it's fun and it's cool, but I can't be around that many people.
Uh-huh. Yes. So,
but I want to work and, you know, be productive and learn some new things.
So. And you may like baseball, but you've got to work. You can't just watch the game. And that creates a requirement to teach that element of balance, and that building those understandings of those soft skills that are more critical and crucial to the potential employer who may be able to retrain somebody on a cash register, a hard skill one day because of a gap or, whoops, I forgot how to do this function. But building that social enculturation that goes into the soft skills, you've got to have that, or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's important, and I'm sure it goes on as part of reinforcement training, in a team concept. Oftentimes, I'm sure Uline does it, Walmart, and some of the other industries that exist in this area. Again, as we find, I think that's something that, and what I'm finding, and I have heard from employers, this is something that we want. On glide path or autopilot already, and so it it may seem strange to someone who is observing this from the outside, and the uninformed observer who's thinking, well, this is a jobs program. What does that have to do with a job? Well, do you want to be scared away when you're going into a business to do to conduct a transaction? No, you want to be welcomed and have that confidence that. The person at the counter knows what they're going to be doing and knows what they're supposed to be doing.
The growth I've seen from these kids, and I've spent a bit of time out at Kingfish filling in when, you know, staff have taken holiday time and things like that. And, you know, I come talk to the kids and they're saying, oh, hi, oh, yeah, Gary, how are you? Look, I like to talk, but I've got work to do.
Right. And so,
I don't think I really need anything from you, you know, and boom, I'm like, wow, these kids have really grown in just these 4 weeks or so. It's incredible to see, you know, I don't know. It's been a good experience.
I guess the next measurable goal and objective will be when they say to you, Gary, don't you have some work to do?
Well, I was getting almost a version of that. We're fine.
Yeah. Literally. Wow.
And then we've developed I think 8 slots as well with another project, another organization we're working with. And there's the Chicago Greek Orthodox Diocese has a new retreat center out in Kenosha County. And in fact, it was the old KC Friendship Camp.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And we are the contract agency. Now,
what a coincidence.
Yes. So we've set up the job sites now. It's actually other DVR providers that are doing the supervision there.
Okay.
Because otherwise it would be, kind of a conflict.
It would almost appear to be a conflict of interest,
yeah.
Right? Right.
So we developed the sites, and then we're kind of the employer of record, and then we've had these other agencies coming in to work with young people,
okay.
And some of them are doing cooking, and some are doing cleaning.
Okay.
So, you know, again, career exploration.
Culinary, custodial, even hospitality.
Yes.
Because at some point that is a hospitality-based, and my goodness, when you consider, culinary, that's GTC Racine. Hospitality, that's GTC Elkhorn. Custodial and some of the engineering and some of those other functions, that's GTC Kenosha.
Yep,
wow.
Right,
we have all of the pieces in place to provide ongoing professional development and ongoing education just in that one capacity for that one particular setting.
Yeah.
That's I you could almost say that's unheard of.
Yeah. And of course, again, always, you know, we're stressing with the kids, you know, about customer service and, you
sure.
know, like say the soft skills, the cooperation. And yeah, mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of real exciting mm-hmm. things just in the last couple of years. We're, just to put a plug in again, we do so many things off site now.
Yes.
And a lot of folks don't know that we run 100% of the food service program at the Racine Youthful Offender Facility prison.
Yes.
550 meals a day, 550 meals three times a day. We
wow.
run the food service for UW-Milwaukee's off-site, kind of their community outreach, community education programs.
Correct.
We do all the cleaning and landscaping at the state rest area, the tourist center.
Correct.
I-94. And then the scales in Racine.
Okay, yeah.
In Kenosha County, they're basically run by the State Patrol.
And I believe at one time the National Guard Armory.
We do the National Guard Armory, and we've just added the Air National Guard.
Oh, in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah,
oh,
the air station.
Goodness. What a great environment. Boy, I'd never get any work done there. I'd like watching planes all the time. My goodness.
Well, and I think that's exciting for people to feel like
yes.
they're contributing to national defense.
Well, I
mission.
Think it's sure. important also to know that there's another, in a way, unrelated, if you want to call it, but there is a connection with KAC that you also have consumers, clients, whatever, participants that are also being transported down to the Navy base to
yes.
contribute to that contract and food service contract.
Correct. Yes.
So
we work with Goodwill Industries.
Sure, yes, with Goodwill Industries, right.
Yep, I think they're called Navy Goodwill for that
okay.
particular.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
It's Goodwill, and we've had a really good relationship from the time, I think we started when you were there.
Yes, when I was there, and the transportation has always been conducted by Kenosha Achievement Center.
Yep.
Right, three shifts, right?
There's basically two shifts, but one of them is a combined shift.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And it's 365 days a year.
Oh.
Rain
or
shine.
The sailors got to eat.
The sailors got to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've had folks that have been down there for the entire time, and they just love what
yeah.
they do.
They really do. They get very, very excited about it and mostly feel fulfilled about their sense of contribution to not only the U.S. Navy, but to that aspect of the country and that part of their mission. Some to the point where they've gained a great loyalty to the U.S. Navy. Some with concerns about having to go on a ship, and we've had to
yeah.
Diffuse that nervousness or that anxiety a little bit. And so it runs the gamut of concerns and enthusiasm. But we talked about some of the many things that the agency does in blending and. The different opportunities. Are parents or students able to request customized or blended programming options? And either one can take some of this because you work either side from either beginning to.
So when we're sitting down with the family after a child's been evaluated, the conversation is always about what is it? What skill? What is it that's going to make your child in your mind? Move further ahead. What is it that we want to do? And so in that respect, their plans are individualized to the child.
Plans are individualized, right.
We also have nationwide, and the state of Wisconsin has embraced this approach of coaching so that we're giving the parents the tools and strategies, because that 1 hour a week that the physical therapist is there doesn't even compare to the 24/7 that the parent has with the
sure.
child. So if we
right.
can give them things to do at mealtime or at playtime or when you're outside on the slide, they're going to work on physical therapy
mm-hmm.
all the time
yes,
that
yes,
way,
yeah.
and the child moves ahead faster. So in some respect, the parent does have a choice. They can always say, nope, that's not what I was thinking.
Sure.
But it really is a conversation about, you know, mom, dad, what do you need from us? What do you understand what you need to do next? And maybe they'll say, I've got this for now.
Okay,
maybe
right,
I'll
right.
see you in a month. Come
okay.
back in a month.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or they'll be like, I'm not so sure. I'm not comfortable with this. Could you come again in a couple days or come again next week? So we've gone to a really flexible scheduling with the families. And sometimes those children who are more shy, more nervous around strangers, we will see them more frequently when we first start with them, just to get them used to having somebody else come into their home, and then back it up more after that, after the child and the parent is acclimated to how those services go. So I guess the short answer is yes. Can be.
Yeah. And that's a matter of individual conversation. It's not,
correct.
You certainly do not take a one-size-fits-all approach.
Correct.
And how about you, Gary? Now the kiddos, as they get older through school and so forth, as they look at Kenosha Achievement Center as a community-based transition option or a CBTO, I know that they could be request and arrange or schedule blended opportunities in terms of I'd like my son or daughter to work or take advantage of these programs, say, 2 days a week, and other 3 days we'd like them in a conventional school environment, or what other education options are available through the district.
Now again, if somebody's in school, we're probably going to work with them afternoons, evenings, weekends, but we might get a situation.
So your day goes beyond the school day. Your school day goes beyond the conventional school day. Again, important to reinforce and remind people about that this is an ongoing, this is not just a 365, this is almost a 24/7 operation with respect to the education programming that you conduct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Last summer I was out, as many of us were, on the cruise at the Kingfish games, and you know, they're going into extra innings, and you're like, holy, I didn't realize how long these games were.
Right.
Friday
dark.
Night, it's dark.
The kids love it because it's a baseball game, but Gary is thinking, no, this is a baseball game.
I'm old.
Can I call timeout? Well, this has been great, and I see we're coming up to the end of time here, so all I wanted to do was, at this point, if there was the toughest question of all, is there anything quickly that you could add in the time remaining that we've overlooked and that you'd like to add or include, either Susie or Gary, as far as the programming is concerned? I see shoulder shrugs
yes.
here, and we're not supposed to have dead air. But
I think this has been a real exciting time for the agency.
I think so. And the move into the community and the visibility, and especially with the Kingfish games, as visible as they are, is enormous. It really is. And it's a testament, a credit to the people that work at the agency, and the level of enthusiasm and vision that they've always embraced. Chris Weicker notwithstanding, just an amazing young lady, and I've observed for the longest time the programming flexibility and opportunities that she has optimized has been remarkable, and moved and kept the agency moving in a position of flexibility. We're always ready to refit and repurpose an activity or a portion of the agency to be able to fulfill an obligation or a requirement for an upcoming concern in the workplace.
Right.
And or in the community.
Yeah. Right. And we're, like you said, you know, maybe 30 years ago we were known as the sheltered workshop.
Yeah. Right.
But that's probably 10% of our organizational focus right now, and 90% is doing all these other kind of exciting, innovative things.
Right. Just quickly, Birth to Three has partnered with Aurora Pediatrics.
Oh, wow.
We received a grant from the National Centers of Health through the American Academy of Pediatrics. And so we're working closely with them to look at developmental screening specifically and how we can capture those children early.
Wonderful.
Instead of waiting so that they're getting a delay in services, maybe not till 3 or 4 or 5, but if we can capture them early. So we're doing some community-wide training as part of that grant, and so we're very excited about what that might lead to.
And very, very innovative and proactive. Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD. Our guests today have been Mr. Gary Eckstein and Mrs. Suzanne Wolf of the Kenosha Achievement Center. They bring a remarkable foundation of professional experience and local connection, basically homegrown, to their administrative leadership skills and reputation, which contributes to the benefit of the students and families that they serve. And all this because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.